Today's daf is Bava Kamma, daf Tzadi Tes. We are picking up from daf Tzadi Ches Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah. Nasan le'umnin l'sakein v'kilkula. Let's say you gave something to an uman in order to fix it, and instead of fixing it, he destroyed it. So the halacha is chayev l'shalim. So the uman is obviously chayev to pay for what he had done, for destroying the kli that you had given him. Nasan l'charash. This is not a cherish. We're not talking about deaf people here. Nothing to do with deaf people. You give it to a carpenter. Shida teva migdal. You give him a box of some sort, the sakin, in order to fix it. V'kilkel, and instead of fixing it again, he destroys it. Chayev l'shalim, so he has to pay for the damages. V'abana'i shekibla lov listor sakosel. If you have a builder who is mekabel on himself, you're paying him to destroy a wall. V'shiber sa'avanim, but instead of taking down the wall carefully and knocking it down in a way where you're able to preserve the stones so that they can be reused, instead he breaks the actual stones. Oshi zikon, or he damages them in some way. Chayev l'shalim, so he's going to have to pay. Meaning anyone l'chora could destroy a wall. You hired the worker probably because you wanted the wall taken down carefully because you don't want the stones to be destroyed. That's understood, that's part of the job. And instead, he destroyed the stones, so certainly Chayev l'shalim is going to have to pay. Hayisos mitzad zev, inafel mitzad acher. If he was knocking it down on one side and it fell down on the other side, pater, he's going to be pater. Which sounds a little bit strange. Obviously, if you bang on one side, it's going to fall down on the other side. So you have to assume that we're talking in a case where it's not so obvious, where he's not a poshea. That's what the Shittim Gbetzes writes. Kolomar v'lo machmas pshia, ela machmas ones, Shittim Gbetzes says. It's not because of pshia, rather it's because of ones. Shaya savr shaya yachal lamut tzad sheni, below ze, pater da onesu. Meaning you thought that the wall was thick enough that if you knock down this side of the wall, some of the bricks on this side, that the other side was still sturdy enough, it was still strong enough to stand on its own. So you had no idea, and it didn't seem that it was such a that it was in such a precarious position that it was going to fall down on the other side. So that's the reason that you're not considered a poshea, you're considered an ones, and therefore you're pater. But if it's just the force of how you're hitting the wall that it falls down on the other side, so then you're certainly going to be chayiv, because you can't call that an onus anymore. Once you're not doing it carefully, you're just banging away, so then obviously it's going to fall down, and you are going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi. So this chiddush of Rav Asi is going to take us through a good part of Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, trying to prove either for or against Rav Asi. Amar Rav Asi, Lo shanu el shanasan lecharash shida teva umigdal lenaitz ben mismar v'naitz ben mismar v'shibran. Our Mishnah is speaking in a case where you gave a kli to the carpenter and you wanted him to strengthen the kli, put a nail into the kli to fortify the kli, strengthen it in some way, and he broke it. Aval nasan lecharash etzim lasol shida teva umigdal va'asaman shida teva umigdal v'shibran. Pater. But if you just gave him wood, you just gave him raw materials to build something, and he built it and broke it, so then he's going to be pater. Meaning the only time you're going to be chayiv is if you already had a finished utensil and he destroyed it. But if you never had a finished utensil, he's the one that made the finished utensil and he destroyed it, then he's going to be pater. So says the Gemara, my taima, why should that be so? Why should it be any different? Once he's made it, it's yours, isn't it? In which case, when he destroys it, he should be chayiv for breaking the kli. Says the Gemara, no, uman kona b'shvach kli. Rav Asi assumes that the concept called Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, that when an Uman works on a Kli and he builds it, he's Kona, the improvement of the Kli, as he goes. So it is his Kli, it's not your Kli. It's your raw materials. Until he gives it back to you and you pay him, you're going to be paying him for his Kli. It's as if he's selling you his kli when he gives it back to you and you pay him. It's not that you're paying him for his work. He's selling you the kli that has become his. So therefore, if he destroys the raw materials, that's one thing. I assume we're talking about a case where he destroyed the kli and the raw materials are still what they were. So he's not going to be chayiv to pay because you never had anything more than raw materials. So Tanan says the Gemara, we learn in the Mishnah, Nasan l'umnin v'kilkul chayav l'shalim, that if you give to an uman and he's mekalkul, he destroys it, he has to pay. That's our Mishnah, the first line of our Mishnah. So my lav diavlu etzim, but wait a second, isn't our Mishnah talking about where you gave raw materials and still we see he's chayiv to pay? So isn't this a raya against Rav Asi? Says the Gemara, Shita Teva Migdal. Who says you gave the Uman raw materials? Maybe the first case in the Mishnah is where you gave him a box, you gave him a kli, you gave him something to fix. Says the Gemara, no, the first case in the Mishnah can't be where you gave him a kli, because Hamid Diktani Seifa, Shita Teva Migdal, Machal de Resha Eitzim Amri. Because the next case in the Mishnah introduces that Chiddush, that you give him a Shita Teva Migdal, you give him a kli, which implies that before saying that, we were speaking about cases where you just gave raw materials. Sans says the Gemara, no, Purusha Kam Farishla. It doesn't imply anything about the Resha. Rather, it's just the Seifa we're supposed to understand as explaining the Resha. What's the case of the Resha? This is how to read the Mishnah. What's the case of the Resha where you give something to an Uman to fix and instead he breaks it that he's going to have to pay? It's where you give to a carpenter a finished kli. But if you were to give him raw materials, he'd be potter from paying. But the safe is supposed to be understood simply as explaining the resha. If you look at Tosos, Tosos says, wait a second, Tema, Delo Parch Ihachi, Chayavin Trey Zimni Laman, we could park Parakam in Sanhedrin. Tosos is bothered that the normal style of the Gemara is whenever we do this, whenever we say it's coming to be Mefaresh, the Gemara would ask, then why does it say Chayav twice? Right? Meaning, if it's only teaching one halacha, why does it say Nasal Lumnin, right? Nasal Lumnin Lasakim Vikilklo Chayavin, period? Chayavin Lashalim, period? Nasal Chayav Shin Tev Migdal Lasakim Vikilklo Chayiv l'shalim. Why does it have to say chayiv l'shalim twice? It's one halacha. Just say it should skip the first chayiv, right? Because in its place should really be the assumed word ketzad. So it tells us bothered why we don't have that over here. And he points out in Gemara Sanhedrin we say this. And he says I can't explain it. There are many places in Shas where we make such a diuk. Many places in Shas where we don't make the diuk. I don't have a good explanation. Okay, but anyway, it says the Gemara Vachinam Mistavr the ketzad katani. However, the Gemara says it seems logical that in our Mishnah the two cases are not two separate cases, but rather the second is an explanation of the first. The Isal Kadaitach Resha Eitzim, because if you're going to say that the first case of the Mishnah is a different case, it's where you just give the raw materials, Hashtash Min Eitzim Chayav Neshalim, V'lo Amrin An Umar Konim B'Shvach Kelim, Shida Teva Migdal Mibayi, then why would I need the second case if you already taught me in the first case that when I give raw materials, the guy is still going to have to pay for destroying the kli after he finishes it? So you see that we don't hold Uman Konim B'Shvach Kli, you see that extra chiddush. So you need to then tell me that if you give him a finished kli and he destroys it, he's going to be chayiv? Of course he's going to be chayiv in that case. There would be no chiddush in the second case if the first case we're talking about where you just gave the raw materials. So answers the Gemara, Imishum Halo Irya. If that's the best raya you got, that's not the greatest raya in the world. Tana Seifel Legli Resha, because maybe the Enochinami, once we know that the Resha is talking about a case where you gave raw materials, it's not necessary for the Seifa to teach me anything. But we wouldn't know that the Resha is talking about a case where of giving raw materials unless we had another case which clearly was talking about giving the Shita Teva Migdal. So the Seifa is just there to reveal to us what the Resha is really talking about. Shelo Tomar, that one should not say Resha Shita Teva Migdal Avla Eitzim Lo, that the Resha is only talking about a case where you give a finished product, but if you were to give only the raw materials, then he would not be chayv to pay. So Tana Seifa Shita Teva Migdal Machal the Resha Eitzim Afilu Achayv L'Shalim. That's why the Seifa case is a case of giving Shita Teva Migdal, to show you that the Resha case was not a case of giving Shita Teva Migdal, instead was a case of giving the Eitzim, and we still see you're going to be chayv L'Shalim. So again, the Gemara is not saying that that's definitely the way to read the Mishnah. The Gemara is just saying you can't prove that it's not the way to read the Mishnah. I mean, you can't prove from the Mishnah that the case of the Resha was where you gave where you gave the Shita Teva Migdal. It could just as very well be where you gave the Eitzim. The case of the Resha could be that you gave the Eitzim, and the whole need for the Seifa is to let us know that the case of the Resha is where you gave the Eitzim. It could be that simple. So that's the Gemara saying, we have no Raya. So now the Gemara, not having a Raya, goes to work. Let's try to find a Raya to Ravasi. Again, Ravasi is one who said that that since we hold Uman Konim B'Shvach Kli, if you give raw materials to an Uman, he makes a Kli out of those raw materials and then he destroys it, he doesn't have to pay you for a Kli. Only if you give a Kli to an Uman and he destroys it, will he have to pay you for the Kli. Because so long as he's making the Kli, it's his. until he gives it back to you and you pay for it, it's his, it's not yours. That's Rav Asi's chiddush. So let's bring a riot to Rav Asi. If you give wool to a dyer and it gets burnt in the dyeing process, so you have to pay, the dyer has to pay the value of the wool because he has destroyed the wool. So Dmei Tzamru in, Dmei Tzamru Shuv Chalal. But what does he have to pay for? He has to pay for the wool, for the raw material you gave him. He doesn't have to pay for the wool plus whatever dye was already in the wool, meaning for the price of dyed wool, which it was at the time that it got destroyed, we're assuming. Lav sheik dicho la'achar nefila di'ika shafcha. Aren't we assuming that it got burnt after it already got some of the dye? So it was already dyed wool, it was already improved, you've already made something out of it, and then it got destroyed, and still we see you don't have to pay for the finished product, you only have to pay for the raw materials. So the parallel case by the Eitzim would be, if the guy gave you Eitzim, you turned it into a Kli, then you destroyed the Kli, and we see you're only paying the Dmei Eitzim, you're not paying the Dmei Kli, which is exactly what Rav Asi wanted us to believe. Ushramino Umen Konu B'Shvach Kli, so you see a raya from here, that Taka Umen Konu B'Shvach Kli, that it becomes the Umans as he fixes it, as he makes it better. So Amar Shmuel, Hacha Mayaskinon, Kigon Shekdicha B'Shas Nefila D'Laka Shavcha. No, who said the case is that the Tzemer was already dyed and then it was destroyed? Maybe it was destroyed before he ever had a chance to be Meshabech, before he ever had a chance to make it worth anything, to improve it at all, to dye it at all. Avlikdicha L'Achar Nefila Mai. Maybe if he destroyed it after it had already been dyed, what would the din be? Nosno Dmei Tzamer V'Shivcho. Maybe he taka pay for the whole thing. Maybe we assume Einuman Kon B'Shvach Kli. And when you give him Eitzim and he makes a whole Kli out of it and then destroys it, maybe he does have to pay for the entire value of the Kli and not just the Dmei Eitzim. So Lema Shmuel Lesley Drav. So the Gemara says, wait a second, that was Shmuel who just said that. Shmuel is the one that said that we should interpret this case of the dying, that you destroyed it before it was dyed, but had you destroyed it after it was dyed, you have to pay for the whole thing. So Shmuel's arguing with Rav Asi. So who cares? So Shmuel's arguing with Rav Asi. Shmuel's not allowed to argue with Rav Asi. So says Rashi, you know, there's a big deal for us lahalacha, because whole mahadaluk me bahachi masnisin umehashal lo avdinut kravasi dakaim luk Shmuel b'dine. If Shmuel's working on explaining the Mishnah in this way, he's obviously showing he's trying to explain it against Rav Asi. And if Shmuel tries to explain against Rav Asi, that's a big deal to us. Because when Shmuel talks in Dine Mamanis, we listen. Hilchsak Shmuel Bidini. We paskin like Shmuel in Dine Mamanis. So this would mean that we can't paskin like Rav Asi if Shmuel argues on him. Shmuel's a major figure when it comes to figuring out how to paskin in Dine Mamanis. He says, well, no. Amalucha Shmuel, hachamay eskinan, kigon de tzamar v'saman in de balabayis, v'tzava agar yadeh hu de shakel. So no, Shmuel might tell you that what's the case over here? The case we're talking about is where the tzemer and the samanim all belong to the balabayis, and all the dyer is taking is the schar for the malacha, meaning he's not putting in any of the raw materials whatsoever in terms of dyeing the wool. He's simply just someone whose skill is needed, but he's not providing any of the materials whatsoever. So how does that help us? Says Rashi. The case that we're talking about, where if he destroys it after it's already been improved, that he has to pay for everything, it's where all of the raw materials belong to the balabayis. Because in that case, it's impossible to say umun kono b'shvach kli. Because what makes the shvach kli? What makes the shvach kli is the dye, and the umun is just the guy who happens to be putting the dye in. So vade umun v'tzava sachir bialmahu vade umun sha samanim shalo kono b'shvach kli v'en mishal mel d'me tzimro. Meaning, if it were real Tzava who actually provided the dyes and it was a full service shop, so then maybe Shmuel would be Mode Umun Kono B'Shvach Kli. It's only where he's not contributing anything other than his skill that we don't say Umun Kono B'Shvach Kli. So therefore, it's not necessarily so that Shmuel argues on Rav Asi. Rav Asi might only say Umun Kono B'Shvach Kli in cases where the Umun provides something other than a service, the nails that he's using to put the box together in the case of the Eitzim, and he makes it into a Shita Teva Migdal. He's providing something anything other than his skill. But when he's only providing his skill, then maybe everyone would agree, Einu munkon b'shvachli. So frankly, Gemara, Ihachi nosan l'demeis hamro v'samanami b'ayle. But then wait a second, when he destroys it, why does it say he only pays for the wool? If the dye wasn't his either, he should pay for the wool and for the dye, for whatever materials he was provided with that he destroyed and now made useless. So if that were really the case, he should have to pay for the dye as well. So says Gemara, El Shmuel Dechuya Kamad Chilei. No, the Gemara says the issue of Shmuel passing against Ravasi is not an issue at all. Shmuel wasn't passing over here. All Shmuel is saying is that this Mishnah is not a raya to Ravasi, because the Mishnah could theoretically be explained in a case where the wool was destroyed prior to having been improved, prior to having been dyed. But Shmuel's not saying necessarily that that's the case of the Mishnah. He's saying it's possible to explain the case of the Mishnah that way. But lav davka, that you have to explain it that way. And therefore, Shmuel's not taking a stand either for or against Ravasi. All he's saying is that he doesn't think that that Mishnah is a raya for Ravasi. The Mishnah could be understood in multiple ways. So the kasha the Achronim deal with, which is a difficult kasha, is what the Gemara's Havamina was exactly. I mean, just because Shmuel explained, Shmuel answered the raya, we always have like that. The Gemara always has, where we have a raya and we reject the raya, and rejecting the raya is not the same as saying that we have a rejection to the idea, and bringing a raya is not the same as we always say that when you use a Mishnah as a kasha and you reject the kasha, you reject the Mishnah as a kasha, so you're not saying necessarily that you're supporting the idea, you're just saying that you don't think this Mishnah is a kasha on the idea. So that we always have that. It's very difficult to understand why the Gemara had such a hard time understanding that the Gemara had a whole Havamina until we finally had to say, no, Shmuel was only Duchuya Kamad Chile. Okay, something the Achronim deal with. Take a look, Pnei Yeshua deals with it. We have to get moving. Tashma, another Raya. Hanosin Talisa Lu'uman, V'gamro V'hodiyo. Person gives a talis to an Uman. The Uman finishes it up, V'hodiyo, and he lets the guy know that he has it, that he's finished with it. Afilu Mikan V'atasari Yamim, Eino Overal Mishum Lo Solin. So long as he's still holding on to your talis, meaning you go and you bring your suit to the tailor, and the tailor calls you up when he's done with it, and he says, look, I'm finished. So as long as he holds on to your suit, you don't have to worry about the fact that you haven't paid him yet. Meaning you owe him $20 for fixing your suit or whatever it might be. You don't have to worry about the fact that it's low selling, that you're withholding his wages overnight when you haven't paid him, so long as he's holding on to your suit, because he's holding on to something that's more valuable than the wages. Some of the Rishonim explain it's like a mashkon. He has a mashkon that he's holding on, and until you pay back, he's going to hang on to it, so it's not necessarily a problem. Naslo b'chatzi ayom, however, as soon as he goes and delivers your suit to you, kivin sheshaka lav hachama over lav mishum baltalin. If you don't pay him by that night, then you've violated baltalin. Because once he's no longer holding on to your suit, then he's like any other worker, he needs to get paid, and he needs to get paid on time. So Allah, you're required to pay him on time. Am I over mishum baltalin? But wait a second. If we say uman kona b'shvachli, so when he fixes your talis, he fixes your suit, he becomes the owner of that suit, and when he gives it back to you, he's selling it to you. So why is it baltalin? Baltalin is when you're paying a worker. When you sell something, there's no baltalin. I can give you something today, and we make an agreement, you'll pay me in a week from now, whatever. That's not baltalin, right? Why should it be over baltalin? As Rashi says, hazvuni kamazman leinei alei, velo schirusi. That's not schirus, it's just a sale. So I'm Rav Mari Breder of Kahana, begarded the sarvel of the laka shivcha. No, we're talking about something like a type of clothing where there's no shevach, there's no improvement to the kli that the uman makes. So you can't say uman kona b'shvach kli. So says Gemara, well, if there's no improvement to the kli, why are you giving it to him? L'rakuche. So no, you're giving it to him to soften it up, but he's not really improving it. No, but kivin derechachia haynu shivcha. I don't understand. Whatever you're giving it to him to do, whatever you're giving it to him for him to do, you have to obviously assume that that's some sort of shevach. So whatever minor shevach it is, it's still a shevach. So you say umen kom neshvach kli. Says mar latzricha da agre lebitche bitcha bitcha b'masa da haynu schirus. You hire him to trample on it, and every trample that he makes on it, you pay pay him for, meaning you're paying him for a job, you're not paying him for improving the kli, you're paying him for the effort that he puts into it, meaning you're paying him for each, he comes back to you with a list. I trampled on this 10 times. Oh, 10 times, I owe you 10 ma'os, right? It's a ma'a for each time. But you're not looking at the kli. You're not even saying, oh, you've brought it from 1 degree of softness to 5 degrees of softness, and therefore I owe you however you measure softness, right? And therefore I owe you X amount of money. No, you're paying him for what he did, for the actual work, for each moment that for each time that he tramples on the kli. So that, then there's certainly no uman kona b'shvach kli in that case. So says one of the ma'idasal gadaitin me'ekar de lo agri lebitchi misayeh le'rav sheshes. But assuming what we did before, that we where you hired him for real, where you didn't hire him just to trample on it, so should that be a riot to Rav Sheshes? To Bamin and Rav Sheshes, because we had a Shaila that was asked Rav Sheshes, Kablanus, overlove Mishum Baltalin, Oeno over. When a person is a Kablan, when a person accepts upon himself, he takes to do a job, right, and he gets paid for the job, not for the time, but he gets paid for the job. So is there an Isra Baltalin or is there not a contractor? Is there an Isra Baltalin or not? Vamil Hu Rav Sheshes over. Rav Sheshes says, yes, it is Baltalin. So Lamed Rav Sheshes, so should we suggest, therefore, based on what we assumed that we were talking about a case where you hired the guy to do the work, that Rav Sheshes argues on Rav Asi, because you see Rav Sheshes holds, because if uman kona b'shvach kli, there should be no bal talin by a contractor, because he's not, it's a sale, it's not a worker situation. If uman kona b'shvach kli, so Amar Shmuel Baracha b'shlicha di igarta. No, we're talking about a case of a person who's not mishabeach anything. The uman, the kablan, is a mailman, so you're paying him to get the job done, to bring the mail to bring the mail to where he's supposed to bring it. But he's not improving the mail, he's not doing it, so it's not shaykh to talk about. If you look at Tosos, why didn't we say the same thing before? Why didn't we say the same thing in the previous raya of when we spoke about Gamrova Hodia that Afilu Mikan Rasoya Mino over Mishum Baltalin? Why didn't we say, instead of bringing a raya about Uman Kon B'Shvachli over there, that we're talking about a case where it's not Shaykh say Uman Kon B'Shvachli, where it's a mailman? So it says Tosos, no, it's obvious that we couldn't say that. Tabehedi Katani Anosin Taliso, because it said Beferish, you gave your talis. You don't give your talis to a mailman. So it's obvious that we couldn't say it was, so we had to be talking about an item that can be improved. That is something that normally when you give to an uman, he improves it. However, from Rav Sheshes is this case of the kablanos, right? Of Rav Sheshes, we could have said what we said before, meaning we could have said that it was talking about a case where you just gave it to a guy to trample on, and you're paying him for each trampling. So what's the point? The point is, this is a much better ukimta than the previous one, because you see, we have a choice of making both ukimtas, of making the ukimta that he's a mailman, or making the ukimta where you're paying the guy to trample on your kli, we use this ukimta. So we see this must be the much stronger ukimta than the previous one. Lemuk tanai. So perhaps we have a machlokes tanaim over here. Asli shirayim nizam tivatabaos vakadishlach. A woman says, make for me jewelry, and I'll be mukadashes to you. Kivan Shasan mukadashes to Rameh. Rameh says, as soon as he makes the jewelry, she's mukadashes. The Chum Romeinu mukadashes, she agia mamun liyada. The Chum says, no, she's not going to be mukadashes until she gets something in her hand. When he gives her the jewelry, fine, then she'll be mukadashes. So my mamun, what does mamun mean? Ilema osa mamun. So if you mean to say that money that he's making the jewelry and he's going to give her money, so then mechlad Rameh savar osa mamun lo. So Rameh sounds like Rameh holds that even when Rameh said mukadashes, so it sounds like Rameh holds that she doesn't get the jewelry and still she's going to be mukadashes. El b'may mikdasha. So then what she's mukadashes with if she's not getting the jewelry? El pshita my mamun mamun acher. So when he says mamun, he must mean some other money. And Rameh is saying, no, even if she doesn't get any other money other than just what he worked on, the jewelry that he worked on, she's going to be mukadashes. So v'savruam, we're assuming to kuli alma yesh l'schirus mitchila v'atzof, that everyone holds that schirus is an ongoing process, right? There's a general machlokas in shas. In l'schirus al v'atzof or yesh l'schirus mitchila v'atzof. When you hire someone to do something for you, is all the money earned at the end when it's finished, or is it earned slowly as the person does the job? So we're assuming that everyone would agree that if you're Makadish a person with a loan, Mekadesh a woman with a loan, she's not Mekadeshes. You need to be Mekadesh with money. Mechila of a loan doesn't work. And therefore, once we isolated those other two factors, we're able to determine that the machlokas over here must be about uman konim b'shvach kli. It's Rav Meir Savar uman konim b'shvach kli. Rav Meir holds an uman as konim b'shvach kli, so therefore if he makes the jewelry and then he gives it to her, so he's giving her his jewelry and he's mekadesher with that, so she's mekadeshes. Rabbanan Savar ain't uman konim b'shvach kli, and Rabbanan say no, an uman is not konim b'shvach kli. When he makes the jewelry, he's making her jewelry. It's already hers. When he gives it to her, he's giving her her jewelry. She may owe money for it, for the work that he put in, but it's her jewelry, and therefore she can't be mekadesha with it. So isn't that the machlokas, whether uman konim b'shvach kli or not? Says Gemara, lo, to kuli alma ein uman konim b'shvach kli. Everyone would agree an uman cannot be konim b'shvach kli. Ela hacha b'yashon l'schirus mitchil v'atzov kamiflegi. Over here we're arguing about yashon l'schirus mitchil v'atzov. The machlokas is about how the schirus works. Does she owe him money for each and every moment that he continues to work on it, or does she only owe him money at the end? Rav Meir Savar in the schirus al b'sof. Rav Meir would hold the whole schirus only kicks in all at once at the end, and therefore when he gives it back to her, she really owes him all that money all at one time, and therefore she should be mekadeshes with that amount of money. Rashi says, "Ein l'schiris l'basof ki mahadu l'neila hilkach lav milvahu." So it's not a loan; it's not an ongoing process where it's as if she's borrowing the money from him as he continues to work, because she really owes him the money going forward, and she just doesn't pay it till the very end. So all that money was borrowed. No, it's not borrowed money. She only owes the money at the last moment. So by not paying that money, right, by him giving her the item without her paying the money, she's mekadeshes. Rabbanan Savar yesh l'schiris mitchila v'atzof, and the Rabbanan hold no, the payment for the schiris should really be ongoing. It's just impossible to do that, to give the guy an extra pruta every 5 minutes that he works. So it's really considered like a halva'a, that really she owes him the money for working on it, but it's as if she's borrowing that money in the interim. So it's really like a halva'a, and you can't be mekadesh b'milva. So that's why the kiddushin is not going to be a good kiddushin. V'ibay say more, a third possibility, to kuli alma yesh l'schiris mechil v'atzof. Everyone would agree, yesh l'schiris mechil v'atzof, that it's really a case of a halva'a, v'acha b'mekadish b'milva k'mifgi. And over here, they're arguing about mekadish b'milva. The Rameir sav mekadish b'milva mekadashas, Rabbanan sav mekadish b'milva ain't mekadashas. The Rameir holds mekadish b'milva is a good kiddushin. The Rabbanan holds being mekadish b'milva is not a good kiddushin. Tosus points out that there are a lot fewer nafkaminas in this machlokas about yesh l'schiris mechil v'atzof than you would think. Tosus points out, afakav the kaimel and everyone would agree you'd only pay at the end. Meaning, one might think if you say yesh l'schiris mitchil v'atzof, if the guy says halfway through, I want to get paid now for what I get, that you should pay him then. No, everyone agrees, Tos says, that you would pay at the end. Whether you hold that the chiyuv is incurred on an ongoing basis or only incurred at the end, everyone would agree you'd only have to pay at the end, because that's normal. Otherwise, it would be impossible. And also, and what about Paul quitting halfway through? The fact that he's allowed to quit halfway through is true, even if you hold in the schiyuv al b'sof, right? Because that will then be the sof. Whenever he quits is the sof. That's when. It's not limited to. It's not subject to that machlokas. So the nafkaminas in this machlokas are fewer than one might have thought. Some of these suggested nafkaminas aren't real nafkaminas in this machlokas. Rava Amar Dukuli Alma Yeshul Sluus Mitchlu Vatsof. Everyone agrees that it's an ongoing process, it's an ongoing chiyuv. Udukuli ha-mekadish b'milva ein u'mekadeshes. And everyone agrees, if your mekadish b'milva does not work, udukuli alma ein uman konu b'shvach kli. And everyone will agree that an uman is not konu b'shvach kli. So wait a second, then all arrows point in the direction of saying that she should not be mekadeshes, because this is a milva. You can't be mekadesh with the milva. It's not his kli. So how in the world is she mekadesh over here, according to Rav Meir? Elahacha b'mayaskin gon shahosef la nofach mishalo. Over here, the point is he added an extra little thing onto the jewelry, right? He put an extra little stone on the jewelry. So she gave him most of the raw material and he worked with it, but then he added an extra tiny thing of his own. So the point, the machlokas Rav Meir and the Rabbanan is as follows: Rav Meir sav milva pruta daita pruta, that when he's giving her the loan, right, he's being mekadesh with the milva and an extra pruta that he threw in, What's her das when she takes it? Is she saying, ooh, I'm getting the pruta, or ooh, I'm getting the milveh? If she thinks she's being mekadeshes with the milveh, then it's obviously no good, because you can't be mekadesh with the milveh. But if she thinks she's being mekadeshes with the pruta that he added in, which is not alone, so good. So that works for kiddushin. So Reb Meir holds that her das is on the pruta, and that's why it's a good kiddushin. If Rabbanan sar milveh pruta daital milveh, and the Rabbanan hold, no, the das is on the milveh, it's not on the pruta, and therefore it's not going to be a good kiddushin. Obe plukta dani tanayin, and that's exactly the machlokas we have in the following tanayin. Titanya b'schasha sisi imachin mekadeshes. If he says I'm being mekadesh you with the wages of what I already did for you, so then she's not mekadeshes b'schasha esay imach mekadesh. But if he says I'm being mekadesh with you with the wages of the work I will do for you, then she is mekadeshes. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Rabbi Nassan says no. B'schar she'asi imach ena mekadeshes v'kol shkein b'schar she'asisi imach. Either way, it does not work. It's not mekadeshes. Rabbi Yudah Nasi Omer be'emes amru bein b'schar she'asisi imach or bein b'schar she'asi imach. You're right, either way she's not mukadeshes, but if he adds in something extra from his own, he takes something out of pocket and adds that in to whatever he's making for her, then she is going to be mukadeshes. So bein Tanakama Rabbi Nassan ikabinayu schirus. So clearly the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Nassan is how you view schirus, whether you say yeshan schirus mikudat sof or in schirus al basof, meaning do we view his ongoing future work for her as a milva, as something that's going to be an incurred milva where he can't be mekadesh her with it at the end, or do we view it as something as a separate chiyuv, in which case he can be mekadesh her with it. So that's clearly the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nassan. But what's the machlokas between Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yudah Nasi? So between Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yudah Nasi, ikabinayu, milva pruta, it's exactly the machlokas we were just talking about before. It's enochinami, I can't be mekadesh with the milva. And enochinami, when I do work for you, when I make something for you with the raw materials you provided, it is a milveh, it's definitely a loan. But the question is, when I add something to it, is the das of the woman on what I added, or is the das of the woman on what I made out of her stuff? So that's the machlokas. Amr Shmuel, Tavachuman Shakil Kal Chayv L'Shalim, sort of a new sugi over here. The Tavachuman, if you bring something to, you bring an animal to a shochet, to shecht for you, and he ruins it, he destroys it, he doesn't do a kashrut shechita, so he's going to be chayiv to pay for it. Mazik hu posheahu, he's a mazik, he's a poshea, nasa kom lo shechot li mikan v'shechot lo mikan. It's as if you asked him to shecht it by the neck, and he shechted it in the middle of the head or something, right? It's as if he just totally messed up. So lamalei the meimer mazik hu posheahu. Okay, we get the idea, Shmuel. He has to pay, right? Why does he have to go so overboard? He's a mazik, he's a poshea, you told him this, and he did that. So iyamer mazik hu no. Had it just said mazik, I would say, when does he have to pay? When he was getting paid to do the shechita. But I would have thought that if he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart, you know, you ask him to do you a favor, and he's doing you the favor of doing the shechita, I would think he doesn't have to pay. That's why it tells me that, no, he's a posheya, meaning even if you were to view him as a shomer chinam, he's a shomer chinam's chayiv and posheya also. So he's a posheya, he's going to be chayiv. So Rav Chama bar Gurya asked on Shmuel, well, does he really have to pay? Didn't we learn anos behem le tabach v'nivla uman pater hediot chayiv? That if you give an animal to a shochet and he turns it into an avela, so if it was a shochet that was a professional, he's going to be pater. And if it was a shochet that wasn't a professional and he took upon himself to try it anyway, so then he's going to be chayiv. He should have told you, look, I'm not trained to do this. I can't really do this. So v'imnasan schar bein hadit bein uman chayiv. And if you pay him, he's going to be chayiv in either way. But don't you see from here that if you give it to a professional shochet and you don't pay him, he's going to be pater, unlike what you, Shmuel, said, that the shochet's always going to be chayev because he's a pasheya, he's a mazik, etc., etc. Amalei, so Shmuel says, oh yeah? L'achar mochacha. Your brain is all dirty. What does that mean? It means I think it's a terrible question. I'm not even going to honor it with a response. Asumei Rabban Kamosavlei. So then another rabbi came and asked the same exact question to Shmuel. Shmuel says, Amalei, hasha shakalta mai deshakal chavrucha. Oh, you're looking for a fight over here? You wanted to, I'll give you exactly what I gave the other guy. I'll insult you the same way I insulted him. It's unclear exactly what's going on over here, why Shmuel was so sensitive about this question. He was apparently very upset by it. The Shor Mitzvah Balacha normally, when it comes to these types of cases, tries to explain why it's not really an insult, it's really a compliment, and it's really, I didn't take a look to see how he gets out of this one. But he says, I'll give to you what I gave to the other guy. So, Kamina L'chuana, Rav Meir, V'kam Risuli Rabbanan, I'm explaining to you the Shitas Rav Meir. You're coming back to me with the Kasha because the Rabbanan hold differently? Okay, the Rabbanan hold differently. It's a machlokas. We have machlokas from all over Shas. It's not a kasha. It's the Rabbanan against Rav Meir. Am I l'diakta mili shani omer? Why didn't you pay attention to exactly how I told you the Pesach Halacha? What did I say? Mazaku, posheahu, nasakom lo shochlu mikam shochlu mikan. So man islei hai svaro, who's the one that holds this idea? Rav Meir, damim b'ilil mirmi anafshe. It's Rav Meir who always holds that you have to be very careful, that the guy has to be careful on his own. So hey Rav Meir, which Rav Meir holds that? Where do we find that Rav Meir holds that? The Gemara's going to have three possibilities. Ilei maha Rav Meir ditanan kashru bala b'mosir v'nal b'fan of karai v'yatza v'hizik if it's Rav Meir that holds that if you tie up the animal really well and goes out and damages, so whether it's a tam or mord, you're going to be chayiv because you have to be extra careful. That Rav Meir has psukim to support his point of view. And that has nothing to do with svara, has nothing to do with boil the mirmi and afshe, that he has to be extra careful. Allah Rav Meir, maybe it's the following Rav Meir. Ditnan, mitzvah adam, mitzvah shachar, shachar mitzvah adam, you hire a guy to color something red, he colors it black, or vice versa. Rav Meir, you have to pay him for the wool. So it says, hasim yadayim kalamine. Over there, you biyadayim, you went and burnt it, you damaged his item, biyadayim. So that's much worse. So Ella Harameir. So it's rather it's the following Rameir. Titna Nishbra Kadav Lo Silka. If you broke your jug and you didn't move it out of the way in the Rishus Rabin, or Nafla Gamlov Lo Hamida, your camel fell and you didn't pick it back up and you just left it there in the Rishus Rabin for people to trip over. Rameir Machayev Ben Izak. Rameir holds your chayev and whatever damages it causes. The Chumra Patim Midine Adam Chayev Dine Shemayim. And the Chumra say you're Patim Midine Adam. You're only going to be Chayev Dine Shemayim. The Kaimlan to Benitzkal Pashaya Hu Pligi. And we see that the Machlokas is about whether Nitzkal Pashaya. Meaning the machlokas is about should the guy who was walking down the street have been more careful, whether he should. So that's the Rav Meir that we're referring to. So that's what Shmuel's saying. Just because I tell you Rav Meir doesn't mean that you should start asking me kashas from the sheet of the Rabbanan. Of course, the Rabbanan are going to disagree with Rav Meir. Okay, we're going to have to stop here because of the bris. Mirz Hashem, tomorrow we're going to do one daf in the morning, and then because of Birchas Hachamim the next day, I'm going to do a daf here in shul at 9:30 at night. If you can make it, that's great. If not, we'll be on the internet.